Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 2 this morning. I want to bring a message this morning to, it's geared toward fathers. It's given from one father to another in this passage, to a son in this passage. But really, it's a message for all men. I want to be an encouragement and help to you this morning if I can. 1 Kings chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Now the days of David drew nigh that he should die. He charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, and his commandments, and his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, If thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel." Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for who you have made us. Father, we are made in your image, and though that image has been marred by sin, you give us the opportunity to see that image restored as we trust Christ as our Savior, as we grow in Christ, as we reflect who you are to others. Father, we thank you for that privilege. Thank you for your long-suffering, for your patience with us. Father, we thank you for the challenge this morning that we read about that David gave to Solomon. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to understand how that applies to our life. Father, as men here this morning, may we be the men that you want us to be. May we be men of God. May you be honored and glorified in each one of our lives. Pray that you would give me clarity of speech and clarity of thought to convey the truth that you want me to say this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Every day we are faced with choices. We get up in the morning, we choose what we will wear, what we will eat, what route we'll take to work, what we'll do with our leisure time. If we buy a car, we have a myriad of choices to make. We go to a restaurant and they hand us a menu of choices. We go to the auto parts store to buy an oil filter for our vehicle, and there are four or five choices. It's like, really? I have one car, I only need one filter. Sometimes these choices are made spontaneously. Other times we have time to consider our decision. But we will always have choices to make, and the choices that we make will affect our life in the near and distant future. Adam and Eve were given a choice in Genesis chapter 3. God laid out the consequences of the wrong decision very clearly. But even then, they still chose to disobey, and it affected the whole human race. Somebody was talking to somebody the other day and says, why, when Adam made the choice to sin, why does it say death came upon all men for all have sinned? Because Adam represented all mankind at that point. And so death came upon mankind because man sinned. He made the choice. In Joshua 24, 14 to 16, Joshua tells the children of Israel they would have to make a choice. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." The people answered and said, "God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods." In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, Elijah puts a choice before God's people on Mount Carmel. He said, "Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him." The people answered him not a word. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 to 20, Jesus invites two men to make a choice to follow him, as well as the other 10 later on. It says, "Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. and they straightway left their nets and followed him. We understand there are choices. We also know that choices are not always easy. It's not as easy as going to McDonald's and choosing which burger you're going to eat. Sometimes it's as difficult as deciding if we're going to move our family halfway across the country or we're going to stay where we're at. We've had times in our family when we've had to make those hard decisions, and we prayed for God's guidance to know what to do. I remember when I was in 10th grade, we were living in Minnesota at the time, and my dad packed myself and my brother and my sister, my mom, packed all five of us in a vehicle, and we headed off the 3,500-mile journey to Fairbanks, Alaska. We were going to live there. Now, at the time, he was going to take a job as a church maintenance man, because people will say, why in the world did you move to Alaska? Well, he was taking a job in the church as a maintenance man up there, but at the time, we thought it was crazy, too. And I looked back and said, Dad, you're taking me away from all my friends. And later I found out exactly. That's exactly what he was doing. Because he saw the influence that the friends had on me, and it wasn't a good influence. And I look back and I'm thankful for a dad who was willing to follow God's leading. Even though he, at the time, was like, Dad, why? I don't understand. In the middle of winter, why are you moving to Alaska? God knew. And you know what? God knew I needed that. And yeah, he used it in other family members' lives as well, but God knew I needed that. Because I look back and I look on Facebook and I see where some of those people that I associated with when I was here, where they're at today. And I'm so thankful for my dad. That decision he made. Because if he hadn't made that decision, I can guarantee you I wouldn't be standing here this morning. In the 33 years of Hope and I have been married, there have been difficult choices to make, and we've sought the Lord's will, and we can see how he used those choices in our lives to grow us and shape us. Sometimes the results of those choices we may not always see. And you know what? We may not even know the results of some of those choices this side of heaven. And God, in his mercy, he may choose to reveal those to us in eternity. I don't know. That's his decision. The story is told of a missionary society that contacted the missionary David Livingston, who was serving in the heart of Africa. And they wrote, Dear Miss Dr. Livingston, have you found a good road to where you are? If so, then we want to know how to send other men to join you. Dr. Livingston replied, If you have men who will come only if they know there is a good and easy road to follow, I don't want them. I want men who will come even if there is no road at all. Sometimes we have a tendency to take the easy road, but to make choices that will not cost us as much. But God needs men who will follow him. And sometimes that means we are blazing a new trail and going against what is popular and convenient. Let me read a verse for you in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. Israel was disobeying God. Israel was rebelling against God. It says in Ezekiel 22, 30, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy it. And here's a sad commentary. But I found none. I found no one who was willing to stand, no one who was willing to do what was right and be the man who stood in the gap. Somebody who's not always willing to take the easy road. We go back to 1 Kings chapter 2. Here, David's on his deathbed. David has had a life living for the Lord. David has had struggles. But he's on his deathbed here, and he challenges his son Solomon to maintain his commitment to the Lord. Now, let me just say to fathers and mothers this morning, we have a responsibility to train our children in the Lord, but ultimately they have to make the choice to follow him. And David's saying to Solomon in the end of verse 2, he says, Show thyself a man. Show thyself a man of God. And there are three things here in this passage that we must do if we're going to be men of God. And the first thing is we have to decide to follow Christ. Where does that start? As David says here in verse 2, I go the way of all the earth. See, every one of us will face death. Are we ready? James chapter 4, verses 13 to 15 says, our life is but a vapor. If you've ever seen a vapor, just it's there and it's gone. And in the view of eternity, that's what our life is. You know, some have said, you want to figure out what eternity looks like? He said, draw a line. In the middle of that line, take and draw yourself a little tiny dot. That's your life. The line goes on forever. Our life is just a little dot. Our life is a vapor. Any one of us could walk out of here today and drop dead on our way to our car. We cannot guarantee where our next breath will be taken on this earth or in eternity. Are we ready? I've talked to people about being sure they're on their way to heaven. They say, oh yeah, I go to church. I do things for others. I pray to God. Matthew chapter 7. Jesus kind of addresses that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So now we're faced with another choice. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Romans 6:23 gives us hope. Even though the wages of the penalty for that sin is death, it says what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It doesn't do us any good to go to church and hope that that's going to get us to heaven. It doesn't do us any good to help the old lady cross the street if we think that's going to get us to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. And Romans 10:9-10 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You know, those two young ladies, and I don't want to make light of the situation, but those two young ladies that were killed at that church parking lot a couple weeks ago had their whole life ahead of them. They had a promising future ahead of them. Those little children that were killed in that school in Texas probably were looking forward to summer vacation. And they're probably talking, oh yeah, I'm going to do this this summer. I'm going to do this this summer. Death will come. Are you ready? If you're here this morning and you have not received Christ as your Savior, I plead with you to see your sin that's keeping you from knowing God, keeping you from knowing you're on your way to heaven. You know, when I was a little boy, I was 5 years old, and my mom sat down with me and I said, Mom, what is it, saved? This preacher was talking about being saved. He kept using that word, saved. I said, Mom, what is he talking about? And she sat down with me and she explained, if you do not trust Jesus as your Savior, you're going to go to hell. And the only way you're going to get to heaven is you trust Jesus as your Savior. You confess your sin and you trust Jesus as your Savior. I didn't want to go to hell as a five-year-old boy. Even though I didn't completely understand what hell was, I knew enough growing up in a church. I knew what hell was not a good place, and I didn't want to go to hell. And so I trusted Christ that day. So I'm pleading with you this morning. Christ took your place. He took that death penalty for you. Acknowledge that he is the only way to come to God. Receive him as your Savior, and the Bible says you will be saved. It's not a difficult choice, but it does mean that we have to set aside all of our own efforts and trust him. And the choice you make will affect where you spend eternity. I saw a quote just recently. It said, God does not tell us, trust me or I will send you to hell. He says, we're already headed to hell. As an unbeliever, you're already headed to hell. He says, trust me and I will save you. So if you're here this morning and you have not done that, please do that this morning. But not only do we make sure that we're ready, but also number two, be strong in this decision to follow Christ. Be strong. David says here in verse 2, he says, be thou strong, therefore. And it's not talking about here about physical strength. Some people define strength by how much weight you can lift, how fast you can run, or your physical endurance. I realize as I'm getting, and I say older because there's a lot of people older than I am, but as I get older, I realize I'm losing strength unless I do things to keep it up. Does that mean I'm not strong anymore? No, I can still be strong. How do we be strong? Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, when we are weak, he is strong. God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. If you look at Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Our strength is found not in our muscles. If that's the case, I'm doomed. Our strength is found in Christ. Solomon would be strong as he maintained his walk with God. When did he lose his strength as a man of God? When he began to give into his flesh, when he began to do the things he wanted to do and he neglected God. There's a sad commentary when it talks about how Solomon began to multiply to himself things and began to get his focus off of God, how his heart was turned away. How do we maintain our walk with God? Through prayer, through Bible reading and study, through godly living. We be strong. And then the third thing there under deciding to follow Christ is to be a man. David says in here, the end of verse 2, and show thyself a man. It says, be a man of God. Our society defends manliness by external qualities. An offensive lineman in the NFL is a man, they say. If you have a physique like Arnold Schwarzenegger, a man who drives a race car at 200 miles an hour, I wouldn't say he's a man. I'd say he's crazy, but they say he's a man. Somebody who can hold an audience spellbound with his musical talent. But God describes a man much differently. In Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. God shows us real men like Abraham, Moses, about Joshua, Nehemiah, David, Elijah, Elisha. I've been reading about those in my devotions in the morning, about Elijah and Elisha. Men of God. How about Job? How about Daniel and the apostles? You know, Jesus Christ was a man. He demonstrated that manliness when he was here on this earth. What was the common denominator in all these, that I just mentioned? What is the common thing in there? It's their walk with God. So we need to decide to follow Christ. Secondly, we need to be dedicated to God's word. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 3, it says, keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses. He says, keep the charge, first of all. So Solomon, keep the charge. He said, take the responsibility that you've been given seriously. I remember when we were first married and then each of our children were born and realizing that it was my responsibility as they were born with my wife. It's my responsibility to take care of them, to provide for them, to be a godly example to them. And even though some of our children are older and they're not living at home, I still have a responsibility to be a godly father to them. You know, Jennifer calls weekly and I'm thankful for that opportunity to counsel her, to pray with her. It's a privilege to be their father. And I will have that until I die. I will always be their father. It doesn't matter if they get married and they move out of the home, that's great, but I'll still be their father. Solomon had been placed on the throne as king, and that was a huge and somewhat overwhelming task, but he is challenged here to keep the charge. Stay on track. He says, David says, follow the Lord. Keep the charge. And then he says, number two, walk in his ways. Psalm 119, 1 through 3 says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 5:2, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Ephesians 5:15 and 16, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Colossians 4:5 says something similar, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we may say, but I don't think I can do what God wants me to do. I don't think I will enjoy that. Remember, everything that God directs us to do is for our good and for his glory. And I've seen many times where God has asked me to do something, and I think, I don't know that I can enjoy that, but he's bring me to the point where I have the grace to do it joyfully. I don't understand all that, how that happens, but I know that he does the work in our hearts if we'll walk with him. And so David says to Solomon, walk in his ways. And then the third thing he says here is keep his word. He says here, keep his statutes. And he talks about statutes, commandments, judgments, testimonies. And David's challenging Solomon here to obey God's word, to keep the law as God has given it. You know, it's always easier to sleep than to work. It's easier to fall than to climb. It's easier to sink than to swim. And it seems easier to go our own way than to obey, but it's not the best. Matthew chapter 11, 28 to 30, Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I better finish it here. Read it. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. See, God's way is easy, and his burden is light. Why? Because we go in his strength. We find our strength in him. Psalm 119, 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So he says here, keep his word. Stay in God's word. Stay in walk with God and tune with God. And then he says here in the end of verse 3, you will experience the results. He says, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and withersoever thou turnest thyself. What is true success? How does the Bible define success? You know, the word success is only used one time in the Bible, and that's Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Only with the word of God. True success only comes by following God's word. So it comes to a deciding to follow Christ, dedicating to God's word, and then finally a devotion to a godly legacy. What will we leave behind when we pass into eternity? Some may say, well, I'm going to leave my kids a big bank account. Some may say, oh, I'm leaving them a growing business. Some may say, I'm leaving them material prosperity. But what about our spiritual legacy? When we are gone, will our family rejoice in the fact that they learned to love God and his word? That we set an example by leading them and walking with God? Are we showing them it is important to read and study God's word? It's important to be in church faithfully. It's important to serve God as we serve others. It's important to tell others how they can know Christ as their Savior. And we may say, I have given my children every opportunity that the world has to offer. But what value is that in eternity? We were at the NTA meeting a couple weeks or last week, and Dr. Ola shared this testimony. He was on a plane, and on the plane walks Colonel Sanders. Most of you know Colonel Sanders. That funny thing is, I asked told my daughter this the other day, and she says, "Who's Colonel Sanders?" Colonel Sanders walks in the plane, sits across the aisle from him. And Dr. Ola turns and he says, Colonel Sanders, I want to ask you something. He says, do you know Christ is your Savior? Colonel Sanders says, I do. He was 86 years old at the time. He said, when I was 82 years old, I trusted Christ as my Savior. Know what Colonel Sanders said? He said, I've wasted my life. 82 years, I've wasted my life. He said, I wish I would have been saved so much younger. Bible, there's a quote, it's not in the Bible, but there's a quote that says, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In Acts chapter 13, verse 22, it shows us David's legacy. It says, when he had removed him, or he removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. That was David's legacy. Will that be ours? I challenge you this morning, let's be men of God. Let's show ourselves men of God. I'm going to read this poem for you before we pray. It says, our thanks, O God, for fathers who follow in thy way and who with glad and trusting hearts exalt thee every day. Our thanks, O God, for fathers who show by word and deed commitment to thy will and plan and thy commandments heed. Our thanks, O God, for fathers who meet thee oft in prayer and who for all life's toil and care find strength and wisdom there. How blessed are the children who in their fathers see the tender father love of God and find their way to thee. Let's pray. We thank you that we can call you Father. Father, this morning we pray that you would just help us to be men of God. Help us to follow you. Help us to decide to follow you. Help us to dedicate ourselves, determined to live for you. Help us to leave a godly legacy. Father, you've given us a responsibility as fathers, but even as men, Father, you've given us a responsibility to be godly examples before others. Help us to take up the charge. Help us to honor you. Father, this doesn't, it's not a discouraging message. Father, this is an opportunity you've given us to exalt you through our lives. I pray that we would be encouraged to take up the challenge. We thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen.